You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard. The second annual enrollment period for coverage under the Affordable Care Act begins tomorrow. Last year's rollout of healthcare.gov was rocky, and there was confusion also over the types of coverage options available through the site. So we'll find out what's different this year and what we can expect when the site once again opens for business tomorrow. Joining us now to answer these questions is Bobby Peterson. He's the founder and executive director of ABC for Health Incorporated. He joins us now in our Madison studios. Bobby, welcome back to Central Time.
It's great to be here.
All right, so round two of the Affordable Care Act enrollment starts tomorrow. First off, what's different this year?
Well, we're hoping that the website's going to work a lot better. I don't see how it could work any worse than the last time around. It should be a lot simpler for people to navigate. There's a lot less screens for people to go through. And most importantly, people will be able to window shop so they can go in and look for coverage. They don't have to pull the trigger and buy it, but they can evaluate it and come back again later. So that's an important distinction from the first time, where it was real clunky and hard to navigate to go forward and backward. People got stuck and it just didn't work.
So in terms of browsing, comparing options, you're saying that should be easier?
It should be, yeah. And all the initial reports and people that have gone into it, we've taken a look at it. It seems like it's working fairly well, at least in the preliminary phases.
And who's eligible to sign up during this period?
Mostly it's going to be people that are uninsured, people that have coverage the first time around that want to re-enroll. And this is an important element. I think that there is an option for people to be automatically enrolled into coverage. We're advising against that because things change. Coverages change. There's new options in the marketplace. So it's important for people to go in to take a look at what the changes are because the costs will be changing too.
Right. So let's talk about those costs changing. What do you see so far that might be differing in price in the exchanges?
I think generally, and, you know, it's hard to speak in real specifics about because there's different levels of plans, but generally the costs are holding firm. I mean, there's not major cost increases across the board, and I think that's really good news.
How long is this enrollment period compared with last time around? I believe there were some extensions last time, some special circumstances. So what's the contrast?
Right. It's a shorter enrollment period this time. It starts tomorrow and it runs for 3 months.
Okay. And how do people get started?
Well, I think you need to get to the website. You know, I mean, you should be looking at what types of coverage you need. And I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, the marketplace isn't for everybody. And it would be nice if there was a one-stop shopping point, but there really isn't. So some people may be looking at medical conditions that could be disabling, and those are evaluations for disability programs. Every county in Wisconsin, just about every county, has an aging and disability resource center for those folks. But for people that are shopping for individual insurance, the marketplace is a good place to look. There's some value there for people that are lower income. There's also opportunities to get into BadgerCare Plus for the very low income populations.
And one of the features of the Affordable Care Act has been allowing people with a pre-existing condition and illness to receive coverage. Anything changed there?
No, and that's great. You know, I've been doing this work for the last 25 years, and I used to have to battle with insurance companies for my clients that had pre-existing conditions because was it really pre-existing? Did they know about it? The insurance company found something in their medical record that looked like they may have known about it. Those days are gone, and that's really a good thing for a lot of people. The marketplace now is open to people that have pre-existing medical conditions, and they're joining a bigger pool of people, so we blend that risk, and it makes it more affordable for them and ultimately, I think, for all of us.
So do those people pay essentially the same amount for their coverage as someone in a comparable financial situation?
There's age bands within the marketplace. So you are going to, the older you get, the more expensive it's going to get. There's age ratings. So that is something that people, but it's not based upon how sick you are. So, I mean, as you get older, you're going to pay a little bit more because the likelihood of you being ill increase. But because you're ill will not cause your premiums to go up.
And in terms of buying it at all, now this was a part of the deal here. You're supposed to sign up again. What happens if you don't sign up?
Well, there's penalties if you don't have coverage. It's important to know that certain low-income people are exempted from the penalties. If you're covered by Medicare, you're not going to be penalized. If you're covered by Medicaid or BadgerCare Plus, you're not going to be penalized. But you have to maintain that coverage as well. So trying to avoid those gaps in coverage that could result in certain penalties is important.
Are you expecting to hear from a lot of people again? You know, this has been a year old, a year has gone by, but do you expect that the literacy about the plan has gone up?
Well, I think it's improved. I mean, at first, I think last year, because of the clunky rollout, you know, it was clunky, and then there was a lot of people that were frustrated and a little panicky about, like, I have to get this, I need to get into it. So it exacerbated the frustration. I think now the literacy about the marketplace has improved. It's still got a way to go. Health literacy is a broad issue across the spectrum that people need to improve. But just about the health insurance terms and issues, we still have a long way to go to educating people, but it's better.
What are some of the most common questions that people ask you when they're starting out?
One of the funny ones is people that say, you know, I'm interested in the Affordable Care Act, but I don't want Obamacare. You know, it's like, well, you know, okay, we're going to have a little conversation about that because they're essentially the same thing. But the label, and because it's so highly politicized, people have a negative connotation without really understanding what opportunities there are. I think within the open enrollment period, the main thing that we're telling people is that there is an opportunity to look at your coverage, to evaluate it, and potentially save some money.
Got a comment here from Paul. Let's see if you can respond to. I'm in Illinois with a high-end gold BCBS plan and dental plan. My premium increase just received in the mail this week is 10%. I can live with that, and I'm a year older, but it still far exceeds the rate of inflation. Do you have any comments about premium increases?
Well, you know, the premium increases prior to the Affordable Care Act were really a lot higher than they have been since it's been enacted. So, I mean, we were in a situation where so many of those costs were just passed up right onto the consumer. We didn't have a transparent marketplace where a lot of people could look and compare plan to plan like we have in the marketplace now, and I think that's helping to keep costs down. 10%, he can live with that. That's probably on the higher end in terms of some of the plans in the marketplace. Some of the plans actually are going to be cheaper this year than they were last year.
So would you tell Paul to maybe shop around?
I think I'd go into the marketplace and take a look. I mean, if he is in an individual plan, he's not an employer-sponsored insurance, but he's got his own individual plan, take a look at the marketplace. It's going to depend on his income. He may find that there's more affordable options available for him.
Do you have any general advice for people about picking the best plan for you? Or is this something that you go on the site, you can pretty much see for yourself?
Well, there's some fundamentals that you need to really think about. One is, what doctors are you seeing? And what networks are a part of this plan? Because you can get into a plan that seems like it's inexpensive, but it's a smaller network. It may not include the physicians and the specialty providers that you're seeing. So it's important to know, who do you want to see? Who are you seeing? And maintaining that continuity of care that you're receiving. That's a really important element that people need to consider as they look at plans. It's not just about the money.
And what about people who might go to the exchanges and say, you know, these are really not within my financial grasp right now? What avenues are open for people like that?
Some people, if they, you know, are low income, they might be eligible for BadgerCare Plus. When you go into the marketplace, you should be evaluated potentially for BadgerCare Plus eligibility. That might be an option for you. One of the troubling areas is that people's income fluctuates. No one, you know, especially a lot of low-income people, their income goes up and down, so they can fluctuate between eligibility, and that gets challenging. The main thing is make sure you report to the website and to the state about your changes in income.
Because it may change.
Yeah, it'll affect your subsidies, and you might be in for a surprise at the end of the year when you have to pay more in taxes than you expected.
Well, we're talking right now with Bobby Peterson of ABC Health about what to expect from the coming open enrollment period for coverage under the Affordable Care Act. It starts tomorrow. And if you've got questions about signing up for a plan through the Federal Exchange, you're wondering how the process might be different this year, or you've got some questions coming out ahead of that enrollment period that you'd like to get a handle on now, give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post your questions on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up our conversation right after the news. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is back on Tuesday. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard. We're talking with Bobby Peterson of ABC Health about the Affordable Care Act. Open enrollment begins tomorrow for coverage under the law. And we're getting answers to some frequently asked questions about buying a plan on the exchange. Now, if you've got a question about picking a plan or how to navigate healthcare.gov, give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post at the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll take our first caller. It's Kathleen in Mount Vernon. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a 66-year-old female. I've been on disability since 1997, and I just had a birthday in October. So I'm now officially 66, and I got a letter saying that now it's just straight Social Security. There's no more disability, which is fine with me. And I have Medicare and Medicaid, and I wanted to see a certain provider at Rogers Memorial Hospital here in Madison for some counseling, and I was told I couldn't get any help there unless I had a Medigap policy. And I called a bunch of places, and because I have diabetes, they wouldn't take me because I have pre-existing conditions. Would the marketplace be something that could offer me something?
Okay, thank you, Kathleen.
Well, one of the issues for you is that you've already got Medicare and Medicaid coverage, so the marketplace is not going to be an option for you. You may want to try and get a hold of the Medigap hotline. You could probably, I don't have the number handy, but if you look it up online, they may be able to offer you some options for Medigap coverage. Typically, it's something that you get when you become eligible for Medicare. But you're in a category of folks that, for the most part, don't have to worry about the marketplace in the open enrollment period because you already have Medicare and, in your case, Medicaid coverage as well.
And if it's an issue of going to a particular provider, is that something that she has any recourse through with Medicare and Medicaid?
Right. I mean, I think it's going to be depending on the type of policy, you know, the Medigap policy that you have. I mean, Medicare typically is fee-for-service, and, you know, there are other categories of Medicare, Medicare Part C, that may limit some of the provider that you have. So there's a lot of details that we don't know yet about the type of coverage and why you're being restricted.
Okay, well, thank you, Kathleen, and good luck to you. And we'll move on next to Penny in Madison. Hi, Penny.
Hi. My question is this. I got insurance last year through the Affordable Health Care Act, and it was very reasonable and everything, and they upped my policy $100 just now. And I thought, that's an extraordinary amount for a one-time raise, isn't it?
Yep, is that $100 a month?
Yeah.
Okay, and it may be that you passed from one of the age ratings, and that could cause the increase, or what we would recommend is going into the marketplace and evaluate and see if there are more affordable coverage within the marketplace that might be available to you. There are options, so you don't want to get automatically re-enrolled into that coverage. You should evaluate and see if there are other plans out there that might be more affordable for you that are going to suit your needs, that work with the providers that you're currently seeing.
Is that something that will happen if Penny doesn't act? She'll automatically be re-enrolled in this one?
Yeah.
And what sort of time window does she have?
I'm not sure exactly what the auto-enrollment process is, but I know that if people don't respond and don't proactively identify alternative coverage, they will get automatically re-enrolled.
Now,
so she should do it soon.
She's talking about a $100 jump in her coverage per month. Is that something that you think people on the exchanges can anticipate, that from year to year they may be changing providers each year? Most people say they have an employer-sponsored health care plan. They might be on that for, you know, 40, 50 years. Is that going to be not at all the case with this?
Well, I mean, I think that you'll see that a lot of employer-sponsored plans are changing quite frequently, or have been over the years, to try and handle the issue of cost. I mean, it is possible that you would be changing plans every couple of years, potentially. I think the main thing that people have to really look out for is the provider networks and the providers that they want to see. They might be able to change networks in some levels and stay with certain providers that they're interested in seeing. So there's some volatility to it.
Okay, thank you, Penny. And you can join us at 800-642-1234 with your questions about open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act, which begins tomorrow, 800-642-1234. And we go next to Karen. Karen joins us in Milwaukee. Hi, Karen.
Yeah, hi. I have a question. So I had insurance for the Affordable Care Act, and I'm just on the border. Like, if I was in a different state that expanded Medicaid, I would have gotten that, but our governor in his wisdom refused to do that. So the insurance premiums got away from me last year, and my policy lapsed. So if I want to re-enroll, am I going to have to pay the premiums previously before I can re-enroll again? Because then it's totally cost prohibitive. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, like, let's say in, I don't know, maybe it was September. The amount got away from me. So if I wanted to reinstate my insurance, it would be over $200 now. But if I re-enrolled for the coming year, am I going to have to pay that plus? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I want to address one issue first, and let's talk about the next one. But the Medicaid issue, I think, is an important one. People that are right at that edge of the boundary for Medicaid, oftentimes you can do a few things to help reduce your income to maintain eligibility for Medicaid. If you're contributing to IRAs or if there's a 401k that your employer is contributing to, that can push your income down to help you meet those eligibility limits. Student loan expenses sometimes can be offset there. In terms of your paying the past premiums, that one I would have to research a little bit. I don't think they're going to let you in without having some opportunity to pay those past premiums. I think that defeats the purpose of insurance. So you're going to have to deal with that, and I would call healthcare.gov and talk to the representatives there and just go through what some of your options might be. They should be able to tell you what options you have for either paying the premiums and getting into a new plan.
Are there other options besides calling healthcare.gov that you would recommend?
Well, I mean, I think that, for example, if you're on Medicare or Medicaid, you may be wanting to talk to folks at your local county aging and disability resource center about options. I mean, this is a good time to evaluate your coverage, a health benefits checkup kind of issue. So look at healthcare.gov for some issues with the marketplace. Look at your aging and disability resource center for help. Maybe your insurance broker can also offer some help. The problem right now is all of these healthcare coverage programs are really in silos, and there isn't really the unifying theory of assistance out there that knows about all of it besides some of us at ABC for Health. There's only a few of us, though. So it's challenging. And, do your health benefits checkup and, go to some of the resources, get some help from family and friends, and talk to your healthcare providers. They may be able to point you in the direction. Some of them have certified application counselors on staff.
Okay, well, thank you and good luck. And we go next to Rusty in Stevens Point. Hi, Rusty.
Hello. I was looking on the marketplace the other day. I currently have group insurance through WPS. And I found that looking at the marketplace, I have they're priced somewhat the same, maybe a little higher deductible. However, with the marketplace, I receive a $120 to $180 tax break per month, which makes it much more affordable. And if you look at it through the year after your taxes, why is it that I can't get a tax break using my current insurance?
Right. I mean, I think that's one of the big advantages of the marketplace, and it's being set up that way to help people get into the marketplace. It's an opportunity for greater transparency to evaluate plans. There's a lot of people that are in your shoes, Rusty, where there are some really affordable options in the marketplace that you can get some of the subsidies. And there's also not only the subsidies, the tax subsidies that you're eligible for, but there's some cost reductions also in terms of your plans as well if you're below 250% of the federal poverty limit. Most of the people that went through the marketplace last year received some sort of subsidy. That's one of the draws of the Affordable Care Act. It's an opportunity to reduce your health care coverage costs, and it's something I'd seriously take a look at.
Okay, well, thank you, Rusty, and wish you the best. We're going to go next to Mary in Madison. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I have a question. My husband is still working part-time at 70, and we have really good insurance through his work, but when he retires, that would cost us about $1,200 a month, which, you know, we don't have retirement. We will have Social Security, and that's it. Will there be able to enroll in the marketplace or look at it at any given time?
I think that one of the things is that, you know, your husband should be eligible for Medicare, and that should be providing his coverage. Medicare Part A and Part B, and then Medicare Supplement Policy would be the best opportunity for him once, you know, I mean, he may be eligible right now. You can have some private insurance and Medicare at the same time.
And thank you very much, Mary, for the call. On to Susan in Sun Prairie. Hi, Susan.
Hi. Last year, these were my options. I paid either $400 a month for a policy with a $1,000 deductible, or I went on the marketplace and my cost was almost $800 a month. I have a non-ACA compliant plan, and this year my options are to pay $470. I don't know what the rates are yet because they haven't been released yet, or switch to an entirely different plan for my husband's employer, and that means having to change all the doctors that I've had for the last 20 years. Furthermore, I don't know about this year, but last year there were no options in the marketplace, at least for Dane County, that were not HMOs. So I don't consider this affordable health care, either what was offered in the marketplace or what I'm currently paying. I think we have to get a better definition of what affordable really is. Because oftentimes the only way to make it really affordable is to carry an extraordinarily high deductible, which is fine if nothing happens to you.
Okay, thank you, Susan, for your thoughts. Susan looking for something different than she's finding.
Right, it sounds like you haven't gone into the marketplace yet this year to evaluate the options. I'd take a look. There are new options that are available. There are some that are not HMO systems. And so there may be some surprises there for you. I'd go back and take a look. I mean, not everybody ends up a winner in this game, and it's unfortunate that your situation is one where you may be paying more.
And before we let you go, a recent Kaiser Family Foundation survey of uninsured Americans found that 89% of those surveyed were unaware that open enrollment begins in November or anytime soon for that matter. With that in mind, how are you trying to get the word out to people?
Well, I think it's, you know, opportunities like this, raising public awareness. And I think, you know, just people listening too, to make sure you're reaching out to families, friends, and neighbors to let them know about some of these options that exist, because there are strong networks in Wisconsin of people. We can all help each other out a little bit, inform them of options, and then direct them to some of the resources that may be out there to help them. We got a long way to go, and there's a lot of, you know, understanding and literacy issues related to the Affordable Care Act that we still need to improve upon.
Bobby, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Great to be here.
Bobby Peterson is the founder and executive director of ABC for Health, Inc. He joined us to talk about the upcoming open enrollment period for health coverage under the Affordable Care Act.